aqui.
Alô!
Alô! A convite!
My dog's got no nose.
How does he smell?
He can't. He's got no nose.
That didn't work.
Let's try another one.
My wife's gone to the West Indies.
Jamaica?
No, Barbados, actually.
That doesn't work either.
Try another one.
I say, what's a Greek urn?
I don't know. What's a Greek urn?
A sort of glazed pottery vase you put flowers in.
Another one. Quick, quick.
Here. Do you realise that the lads and I have played the end of the signature tune so often we're beginning to get it right?
Sorry, Dennis. Tim and I write the beginnings of jokes and John writes the end.
Well, where is he?
He ran away to sea.
Hello, everyone.
I thought you ran away to sea.
Well, I saw. On with the show.
My dog smells terrible. No, she went of her own accord. 30 bob a week. It's a gift, you know. Meanwhile, at a London telephone exchange...
Can I help you?
This phone doesn't work. Could you exchange it for a set of tom-toms?
Certainly.
Thank you. Now I can ring the wife. Damn, number engaged.
Excuse me, are you Mr. Brooke Hyphen Taylor?
What is it, my good man?
You left your hyphen on a double yellow line and it stuck a ticket on it.
Good heavens, I'm Simbrooke Hyphen with a ticket on it, Taylor.
Not only that, sir, they've towed it away.
Well, no. Now I'm Simbrooke Hyphen with a ticket on it and a tow rope on the end, Taylor.
That's not all, sir. Somebody ran into the back of it.
What? Now I'm Simbrooke Hyphen with a ticket on it and a tow rope on the end and a dent in the boot, Taylor.
And another thing was a young lady from Newcastle outside with a baby in her arms.
Oh, no. No, I'm Jim Higgins.
What are my bids for this marvellous bus?
£200.
So?
That was Charles Dickens' immortal tale of two...
You can't do that.
Meanwhile, in a comprehensive school well behind in the syllabus...
Now, look, this won't do. You've been off school four times this week. On the one day you do turn up, you set fire to a classroom, assault the gym mistress, and attack the carpentry master with a chisel. It won't do.
Why not?
You're the headmaster.
Meanwhile, in the chemistry laboratory at the same school, just next to a witty retort...
Right, pour this into this, this into this, add some of this, then this. Now, who's going to be mother?
Most of the girls in the sixth floor.
Was that you, Snodley?
No, sir.
Was that you, Griffith?
No, sir.
Was it you, Huddleston? 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 Oh, it was you. Oh, dear. Will one of you boys take Huddleston home?
Yes, sir.
Here's a paper bag. Get on with it. And now, Miss Deirdre Longbody will do a cartwheel for her uncle.
Thank you, my dear. Sweets are in the drawer.
Lovely old gentleman. And now, here in the studio, we have Mr. Jupiter Thrush, who has the quietest voice in the world. Good evening, Mr. Thrush. You're very welcome. Tell me, when did you first realize that you had a very quiet voice? Oh. Now, tell me, did you ever feel that this set you apart from the other children? I'm terribly sorry, I didn't mean to offend you. Now, I believe you won several championships. That is an incredible record. Tell us, is there any special technique, a trick of the trade, as it were? Oh, really? I'd never have known you were Welsh. Now, I know you don't like shouting about your achievements, but I understand that your rendition of I'm Henry VIII, I Am was what clinched the world championship for you. Would you like to do it for us now? Oh, well, perhaps another time. Mr. Thrush, thank you.
You're welcome!
Stranger than truth, did you know that the Magna Carta was taken by Baron Fitzwalter to King John, who signed the bottom? The Baron then washed it off, and King John signed the Magna Carta. Hello?
Hello, I'm a direct descendant of Baron Fitzwalter, Arthur Inkybum.
I've also got a blot on my escutcheon, but that's neither here nor there. Oh, it's there, actually. Oh, you can't see it, can you? You're on the phone.
What are you ringing about?
Is that a Chinese takeaway?
No.
Nothing goes right for our family. Oh, while you're on, my friends and I wondered if you'd like to open something.
Oh, what?
Oh, they.
Get off. And now over to the annual general meeting of a joke and novelty company.
Now, gentlemen, I'm sorry to have to tell you, we're putting the price of our balloons up.
Why are we putting the price of our balloons up?
It's inflation.
Hey! Hey!
calm down. Well, as you all know, Mr. Harbottle, head of our naughty Fido department, is retiring.
He's not retiring, he's back for it.
Give that man an extra motto for Christmas. Mr. Harbottle, in commemoration of 50 years' loyal service to the firm, I'd like to present you with a paper hat and a tin frog. Just a joke. No, Mr. Harbottle, please accept this Corona cigar.
Oh, thank you.
Like a light.
Thank you. Very nice. Very nice indeed.
Who made this cigar?
I did.
You're fired. You're reinstated. Would somebody like to take Mr. Harbottle home?
Yeah.
Well, here's a paper bag. Get on with it.
Oh, Mr. Van Gogh, I'd like to buy several of your pictures.
You're a man after my own heart.
Ah, little angel, may I borrow your musical instrument?
You're a man after my own heart.
Oh, Noah, I'd like to buy your boat.
You're a man after my own heart.
Madam, I'd like to buy a bottle of your invalid wine.
Ah, you're a man after my own invalid wine.
Hi, fans. Dennis, he writes all his own stuff, you know. King, here. Yeah?
Dennis, what does that mean, invalid wine?
It's a joke for the in crowd.
What in crowd?
The lads in Pentonville. Another blockbuster. I may not be with the show much longer. I'm one of the in people. I've been picked up by the swingers.
That must have been painful.
Oh, it's all happening for me, you know. I've been asked to drive for Lord Hesketh and Richard Burton wants to marry me. However, before I go, here's a little song I failed to sell to Dave Clark Five, The Blind Fool.
Awful quiet way back in 75, and everyone was waiting for a claim. They wondered how long Marshall Edward Heath could stay alive, how long before the showdown came. And sure enough, at sunset, they suddenly saw Mag, her OK Corral necklace at her throat. Wasn't real.
the departure of a pork pie from the buffet.
They sold it!
I'd like to complain about that last joke. I supply British Rail with pork pies.
You a baker?
No, a carpenter.
Meanwhile, on the deck of a cruise liner just after the raft...
When we get back to London, darling, you must come and visit me at my penthouse. I'll send the rolls, pick you up, get the Savoy to send round some lobster and champagne. We'll dance the night away on my roof garden, watch the sun rise, and then perhaps spin out to the airfield and have a flip in my private plane.
Oh, lovely.
Yes, here's my number. Give me a ring sometime.
Is this home or work?
Well, no, it's the laundress on the corner, but they'll take a message.
And now we dip into Hello Cheeky's definitive dictionary. This week's word, judicious.
Judicious. Hebrew crockery.
I'm confessing that I love you.
Well, that's very nice of you, my son. Stay to our fathers and try not to think about it.
Here is a newsflash. Television viewers will be unable to see tonight's episode of Crossroads as Amy Turtle has rolled over on her back and can't get up. And with that, over to the sports desk.
Mount Ananda in the Himalayas is to be climbed by a team from the BBC Sports Department. Eddie Waring said today...
It'll be the first time I've been up and under.
And now it's time for Hello Cheeky's post bag.
Here's your post, dear.
Thank you, Mary. Nice bag.
Dear Barry Cryer, my wife and I were watching you on television the other night and we had an argument. I won and we switched off.
Dear Hello Cheeky, I have spots and find it very difficult to get on with people. Yours sincerely, a leopard.
Dear Hello Cheeky, in last week's programme you mentioned Doris Smallbore. Was this a reference to Helga Lurching? If so, I served with him in World War III. Yours, an idiot.
If you'd like to write a Hello Cheeky, the address may be published in the Radio Times, but we've never been able to find it. But we have been able to find a home hint for the handyman, number coffee stain.
How to make a garden swing.
Water the flowers with vodka.
And now, here is a party political broadcast on behalf of the Forgetful Party.
Good, evening. Now, what was I going to, if you vote for us, we'll, under the leadership of my old, thingy, and, remember, night.
That fella didn't make one bit of sense.
Just like all the other party political broadcasts.
I think there's too much sex on radio these days.
What do you mean?
Let me put it another way. There's not enough at home.
I went out last night to a disco. Danced till 3 o'clock in the morning. Wasn't much fun.
Why not?
It was shut.
Here, did you know that Max Bygraves has been going around the country making speeches on behalf of Margaret Thatcher?
Really?
Yes, he's been saying, I want to sell you a little Tory.
This evening, on The Sky at Night, Patrick Moore will be talking about Castor and Pollux. Best of luck, Patrick.
And now in the studio, we have Mrs. Gladys Contumely, who does portraits for the royal family in Raspberry Jam. Good evening, Mrs. Contumely.
Good evening.
How did all this start?
Well, I was in the kitchen one day doing a turnover for my husband.
Pardon? What?
Nothing. Anyway, I spilled some raspberry jam on my breadboard. I said to my hubby, the late Herbert Contumely.
Oh, is he dead?
No, he just can't get up in the morning. I said to him, look, Herb. I said, that jam stain bears a party resemblance to the old queen. He misunderstood this, thinking I was referring to the barman at the Cock and Bollock. A fellow of very uncertain demeanour who wears lipstick and talks to sailors a lot.
I see. So your first portrait was an accident?
Yes, but after that I decided that the regal red of raspberry jam was somehow fitting for our royal family.
Have the royal family ever seen any of your portraits?
Alas, no. I did once send one suitably wrapped to the palace, but due to the vagaries of the post office it arrived in such a condition that the master of the roll got his breeches fitted.
Mrs. Contumely, thank you. Jammy devil.
Stranger than truth, did you know that St. Patrick instituted the world's first minicab service when he drove all the snakes out of Ireland?
I've got a pet snake at home, you know. Taught it to tap dance.
How can you make a snake tap dance?
It borrows the goldfish's shoes.
We've got a cat that's qualified in medicine.
How do you mean?
The wife came in last week and said I had the cat doctored.
Excuse me, I'm a representative of a group of wizards or warlocks to you.
Get out.
Oh. Sorry about that. We're having a little session in the next room. Is your back hurting?
No.
The wax model's not working, Charlie.
Why are you sticking pins in a wax model of me?
You're John Duncan, aren't you?
Yes.
Well, there you are, then.
Oh. Wait a minute. Can you really cast spells?
Oh, yes.
Could you make me irresistible to women?
Oh, certainly. Hang on. I'll put on my cloak, especially hand-woven, from the eyebrows of Dennis Killeen. Sprinkle on some of this Robert Redford powder and say the magic word. Yo-him, bim, and hi-diddle-diddle, Long John Baldry and Penny in the middle. Come and kiss him, a sweet and twenty, make the fellas fall in plenty. Oh, I said the wrong word then, I've done the wrong spell. Makes you irresistible to men. God, you're lovely. What are you doing tonight?
Get out! Oh. Who was that? Some idiot from next door in Kempton. Barry, why are you looking at me like that?
You're looking extremely attractive tonight.
Dennis! Dennis, play the song.
Anything for you, darling. I'm putty in your hand.
Oh, my God.
Have you heard the new sensation? It's spread across the nation. Everybody goes round saying,
nice.
In the city, in the suburb, you can hear that bagpipe hubbub. In the cab or in the pub up.
Nice.
Everybody's picking up the habit. It's spreading faster than the leading breeding. Raunchy rabbit, when you meet a hot tomato and you think you'd like to date her, sooner, perhaps, or later, you'll go tonight. If you want to leave the smarties, do it at those cocktail parties. Even Rithole Hart is going next. Dennis Healy, Larry Grayson, Barbara Cartland and James Mason, put a cheeky face on and go tonight. It could creep our planet even quicker than David Frost, or maybe that cool baby Alan Wicker. Drop each ball by inhibition. It could replace nuclear fission. Take up your position and go nice. Once or twice you will find, if you take my advice, in a trice you'll have the whole world going nice.
And that was song number 3 in our quest to find a song for Macclesfield. Now we'll go to our panel of juries round the country. Are you there, Bristol? Are you there, Bristol?
Yes, Michael. Well, we haven't actually got round to voting for song number 8, as we've just discovered that one of our lady jurors is a bit of a goer.
Oh. Well, over to our Ramsgate jury.
Well, Michael, the result of the voting here is we found the song guilty. And we recommend it to be sentenced to 3 months, Tony Hatch.
Ah, jolly good. Over to Cardiff.
I'm here on my own, Michael. The rest of them are set off at a steady trot for Bristol.
That means the winning song, the song from Macclesfield, is number 1, God Save Our Gracious Nora Staple Trust. And here to collect the Bakewell model of Joan Bakelite are the composers Dennis King and a big black horse. And they're both very excited. The horse especially seems very, very excited. Oh, no. Oh, and with that, over to the news desk.
Here is a news flash. The RSPCA announced today that they have perfected a device to help fish caught in oil slicks to swim again. A spokesman said, we are calling them herring aids.
And now, over to Sadler's World for a theatrical treat.
Not tonight, dear. I've still got a headache.
Lasted 7 years. Never mind, I'll read my book.
That was an extract from Patience.
Meanwhile, in a beehive...
Dear, you know why we're supposed to be busy?
Yeah, can't sit down for long with a sting up your bum, can you?
No, we've just broken into Harrods. Come on, gal. Meanwhile, in a laundrette, just next to that gent we're all trying to deter. Have you noticed that when you watch a washing machine, you can almost imagine you're seeing things, just like television? I mean, looking at yours going round there, I could almost imagine it's Les Dawson.
It is, I'm washing Les Dawson.
Oh, why, is he dirty?
You've seen his act.
Oh, no. Have you heard that Yul Brynner and Kelly Savalas have put their heads together to make a new film? It's called A Sale of Two.
We told you once, don't do that. Professor Cosmo Ponsonby, the world's leading economist, has been doing an in-depth study of Britain's financial position. And here he is with a message for you all.
Goodbye!
True, you know. Things are in a bad way. There's no money. We're verging on bankruptcy. Moral values have disappeared. Gratuitous violence. People wandering about aimlessly under the influence of drink and drugs. And that's just our house. You know, they're so degenerate in our neighbourhood. They have parties. They all put their wives in a room and you pull one out at random. Who's ever wife you pick, you get to have his car for the night.
Ah. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. Ah, the innocence of youth. I remember when I was a lad, Bridget O'Hoolihan used to take the lads into the bushes for a kiss and a cuddle. She was known as our neck of the woods.
You know, I was 16 before I kissed a girl.
Really?
Yeah, after then I've been kissing boys. When I was 20, you know, I went out with a girl, and do you know she had to be in at 8 o'clock at night?
Good gracious.
Mind you, she was a nun.
Football in England is no longer a game, especially as played by Chelsea.
It has become a world of boardroom intrigue, high finance, ruthless struggles for power, and Malcolm Allison tact. Many a talented young lad has been destroyed by this juggernaut. Tonight we tell the story of one such lad, George Worth.
You remember George Worth, that legendary figure who appeared from nowhere, rose like a rocket into the sky, and then disappeared like a politician's principal.
My name is George Worth, and telling this story is a warning to all youngsters and exposure of the corruption in football and £8,000. I was born in the little village of Ballynewson. One day, my mother was approached by a football scout.
Excuse me, sir, but that lad's got a powerful kick on him. By the hell he has, I can see great potential there. Would you mind if I signed him on junior form?
Couldn't you wait till he gets out of the pram?
Oh, all right then, but I won't give up.
He was as good as his word. The next day I got out of my pram and he signed me up. Because of my youth, I only did light training at first. But when I was 4, I started in earnest.
Right, Ned, I want you to do everything I do. We'll start with running on the spot.
I didn't mean that.
Right.
Work.
You got the ball.
You got the ball.
Shut up. When I nod my head, kick it.
I did as I was told, and he was taken to hospital. At the age of 14, I was the youngest player ever to turn out for Ballynewson's Rovers.
George's best friend and biographer, Michael Parkinlot, takes up the story.
When I first saw George, he was weaving his way through a mass of bodies as if they weren't there, drunk as a pudding in a disco. You're George Worth, aren't you? My friend Vernon Twelve Trees is very interested in you.
He's not a football manager.
Is it anything about football?
Oh, no, I'm not interested in that sort of thing. Ever since I became a football star, I've been surrounded by groupies.
You mean groupies?
I know what I mean.
Suddenly, through the crowd, appeared one of the great football managers of all time. He was wearing a tam o' shanter, kilt and spodden, carrying a wiggly walking stick and singing a Harry Lauder medley.
Hello, I think I'm Don Revy. I've taken over as manager of Manchester Untied, and I want you to play for us.
Manchester Untied. The dream of every schoolboy when he couldn't get hold of Penthouse.
I think I haven't got a form with me to sign this chair.
George was on the path to glory, but also the slippery slope to oblivion. I'll never forget his first match against Everton. As he ran onto the field, the crowd rose to him. He'd forgotten his shorts. However, undeterred by this, he scored 3 goals and received a proposal of marriage from the referee. To begin with, it was roses all the way.
Worth the wonder boy!
Worth wins again!
Wiley Worth wallops Wales! Small fire on allotment at Harpenden!
Then, one night, in a hellish hotel in Hull...
Come in.
Hello. I'm Araminta Pushover. Would you like to come to bed with me?
Your room or mine?
Oh, well, if you're going to be difficult, forget it.
But George succumbed to her charms. He was taken up by the jet set. He could be seen dancing the night away at tramps, Annabelle's and the YMCA Solly Hole.
Living a life of dissolution, George spent a lot of time in Bedfordshire. Hmm? Oh, sorry, that's not an abbreviation. George spent a lot of time in bed.
God, you're lovely. Thank you, darling. God, you're lovely. Thank you, darling. God, you're lovely. Thank you, darling. God, you're lovely. Oh, sorry, Mitus.
The strain was beginning to show.
I'm ashamed of you. Ah, look at you, out of breath. Perspiration pouring off you.
Why does that happen to a footballer?
Not when he's playing draft. You're not getting enough sleep.
What do you mean? Every night I go to bed between 8 and 9.
That's far too many in one bed.
Well, Manchester untied are a goal down, but they're fighting back. Steptoe throws out to McMillan. McMillan to Eisenhower. Eisenhower, a long ball out to Wurst. Wurst stops, drops the ball, puts his foot in it and stands absolutely still. The sweeper's coming for him, but he doesn't move a muscle. Just stands there. God, he's got style. God, he's got confidence. God, he's asleep.
George was dropped and put on the transfer list. He began to feel the pinch of poverty.
I had to sell 2 of my cars and 1 of my nightclubs.
His wealthy friends began to drop him.
Sorry, George, can't see you tonight. I'm going to a Frog Marathon with Harry Carpenter.
Well, tomorrow.
Sorry, tomorrow's bingo with Bamba Gascoigne. At the weekend, I'm going to look round Rissole Harty's sheep.
George's morale was low. His drinking became heavy.
Barman, could I have a 3-stone whiskey?
And where you ask, is George worse today? He's in America, destitute. Apart from the royalties from his book, the film of his life story, and a 40,000-year job coaching a football team.
Just think, if I'd lived clean and behaved myself, I could still be earning 50 quid a week in Manchester. I must be mad.
But our Cheeky. Goodbye, Cheeky. Think on. Sayonara, Cheeky.
That was Hello Cheeky with Sybrook Taylor, John Junkin and Barry Cryer. Music by the Greenwich King Trio, script by Barry Cryer and John Junkin. The programme produced by Bob Oliver Rogers.